in that. I want to say to you today that we love you. I don't say that as just words. I say that from my heart. We love you. We thank you for giving us an opportunity, the greatest opportunity to come to be with you. I'd rather be right here today in some great big church way off somewhere.
Amen.
Because you know what? God is the same no matter where you are. If you're where God wants you to be, that's where the victory's at. This morning, if you'll turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. As you turn in, I want to bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, you knew who was going to be here today, even for today. And Father, you know the need of every person here. The boys and the girls, the teenagers, the young couples, and the older couples. And Father, you know every need. And God, I always pray that you hide me across the cross of Jesus. They'll never see me. Father, we will not hear my feeble voice, but God, may you through your Holy Spirit speak today. Whatever need will be here, I pray, God, you give them the courage to reach out and receive. Is receiving Jesus as Savior? Or where is coming and rededicating and taking up their cross? Our Father, which you not. Whatever the need might be here today, God, we want you to speak to us. Whatever the conscience, we give you the honor and praise. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Now, we can find here that we know that Peter said, and I've said this several times since I've been here, salvation is free. You see, the fact is we come to the cross. Believe in your heart and confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Now, folks, it's not just an option, it's a necessity. It ain't just for others, it's for all. Jesus said, no man shall go to the Father except by me. As I shared with these children this morning, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you only accept it freely. Open your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. But here in Luke's Gospel, he expounds on that. And he said, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Folks, the challenges of life. A child is challenged. Young people are challenged. Couples are challenged. Adults, and we can even our senior citizens are challenged. What are we going to do what Jesus had given us? Now, a lot of times people say, I've been saved at 9 years old, and, you know, but they never move one inch farther. They still ain't here preaching. But Luke's Gospel is saying, listen, it's more than that. He said to them all. The word all means all of us. From the very point of the first man to the end of the last man. It applies to all of us. Well, you know, I'm not enthusiastic about serving Jesus. I haven't been intimidated with that. We're just not even enthusiastic as you. I said, well, let me ask you something. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, how can you not be in the
presence? Amen.
How about that young person that we had spoke to last week, graduated from high school? You can just sell it, some type of relief, but you can just sell that joy sparkling in your eyes. They're excited that they're achieving. That man takes a young woman and calls him and accepts her as his wife and her as her husband. They're excited. Brother come in Wednesday night and he said, his foot was itchy. He had a new pair of shoes on. I didn't know what he was talking about. Start with. Then I call him real quick. How about that young girl gets that down? Or her hand gets so heavy, I'm telling you what's true. She needs a prop to go under. And if you don't notice it, she's going to put it under your eyes. Start scratching it. She's proud. She's excited. How about them parents and grandparents? You don't talk to a grandparent for just a few minutes. Oh, my soul. They're going to show you them pictures of them grandkids. We were at Farmer Saturday and run into a friend that we had that been a long time since seen it. First thing I noticed is she had Diana was showing all the pictures of her grandchildren. We excited. How can you not be excited about Jesus Christ? Someone who was willing to die on the cross for you and me while we were yet sinners, enemy against God.
Amen.
How can we not be excited?
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
To us all. He said all people. All men. All women. All young people. He didn't leave anybody out. It echoes the sentiment of what he said. No man shall go to the Father except me. No man. In other words, no one will go to the Father. He's saying here, he spoke to them all. You know these little words we see in Scripture many times? We fail to think they mean. We just read over. The other week when I talked about my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We think of it in terms he's guiding sheep. No, he's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. You see that personal pronoun? But you see here, he's talking to us. Now I'm a Clemson fan. If you're a Carolina fan, the Lord forgive you. But it's hard to go to a football game where it's a Clemson or Carolina and be quiet. Man, they're screaming their head off. They'll holler, they don't care who's around. They really get into it. You know what they ought to do? They ought to show the enthusiasm. Support their team. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Challenges. That challenge for all of us. Then he said, real calm, any man will come after me. Now, we look at it, first of all, it has all these things. And first of all, we notice that it demands a decision. You're never going to follow Jesus until you make a decision. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, a little later on, I'm too young, and I get things going, then I'll come back. Do you know the young lady that was just as I am, was it is actually written by her. Now, you should know the name. Preacher and evangelist was a vision and had supper in her home. And this young girl, he's trying to get her to come to church. And she said, well, preacher, you know, I got to do this. And some of my friends, what we're going to do is not going to be a Christian. But I'll come after that. But the problem was she never had a choice. She was in a fatal accident, killed instantly. And developed a song. Ain't what you have to do. You gotta come just make a decision. It ain't hard to make a decision. Who you agree with? We don't make a decision. Our children. They do now, but the back in them days, you walk the hall. I did for about, 2 days. You know where it's going to be a boy. They brought the little boy out there, and he had a comb head. But she was in labor for him. He looked like an elf. I told the nurse, I said, whoa, wait a minute. That ain't mine. Take it back. Oh, honey, that's all right. Just a little while, it'll change. But sure enough, next time I got seen, him, the head just was right. But you got to make a decision. That decision not only a choice. You have to determine to follow Jesus Christ. It is nothing theological. It's nothing that you have to go to school or go to the theological school. We're all excited and accepted the challenge that God loves us. We have to make a choice. You have to make those choices as young people. Now, I've had people tell me over the years that, oh, my little 9-year-old child or 8-year-old child, they don't even know what's doing. I'm going to wait till they get older. No, let me tell you something. I had 9-year-old children tell me more than a 50-year-old person come down and give their name about Jesus, what it's all about. You see, they didn't have to make a choice. And in that decision, it's talking about a confession. Will. He said, will. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about being a Baptist, being other denomination. He ain't even talking about just coming to be a part of just saying, I'm going to put my name on the road, see if I can get one. You know the reason I'm a Baptist, Southern Baptist? Simply because I believe it teaches closer to the New Testament church of any other denomination. And folks, let me tell you, if I knew different, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
And so what he just told me, yeah, I complete all the requirements to be a Methodist minister. And some of the greatest people are Methodists. Some of the best friends are some of the Methodist ministers. The second largest Presbyterian church there in town, back when I first started, they wanted me, I supplied for 5 months. They wanted me to be a Presbyterian priest. Your mom, it ain't your dad. It ain't your grandparents. It's not your brother and sister. It's you.
Amen.
Why didn't he say deny your family? He didn't say it. He said deny yourself. Let me tell you something. In my own personal life, the problem I have is not with people. My problem I have with me. I want to do it my way. Most people like birds. And you know how the biggest marketing strategy they use? Come in, you can have yours. You can get a certain thing, but a certain way, they still got you. But you wouldn't believe how many people line up in a burger being restored. I'm going to have your time. I told a young couple married with this lady 52 years. We went together 4 years, I said. You'll learn early in life that she's in charge. You do, you're going to have hardship. I said, but this is what happens when you start getting gray, you get older. You do it your way, but you convince her to get her money. We deny selfishness. You see, it ain't my thing. It's your thing. It's God's thing for life. And there's not a person sitting here this morning that God don't have a plan in your life. And you know what that man that leads you to become a wife and a mother? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I will see you. In my Father's house are many men, not shacks. They used to be an old hymn. I remember as a child they used to sing, just give me a cabin over or a glory. Ain't no cabin in the glory. Either you're going to make it with a full benefit or you're not going to be.
Amen.
You see, God has a plan. Now, who keeps us out of what God wants us to do? I had a young man, he was older than him, and I just told him, I met him through Mike Hamer. We were having lunch, and he was a deacon at First Baptist North Park. And Joel Gillespie, he said that he was a pastor, he was a member of a little church somewhere, and he said, you know, I was a deacon, they let me be the pastor if I surrendered to them. He said, but I couldn't hurry and get the deacon meeting over where I could go play football. He said, so when I started my business, I moved to Spartanburg. And he said, my business was from month to month. I didn't know where the last month was going to be. He said, they had evangelists come one night, and he preached the gospel. And I went home. He said, Brother Ray, I've never had nothing like that. He said, I was in there brushing my teeth. God came on me so strong. I fell to my knees. And I allowed Jesus to become my Savior.
Amen.
He's on me, sir. That's the most embarrassing thing that I had to go tell my wife. I had to go tell my children that I'd been living a life. We can't tell our children somebody we don't know. We can't tell others. We don't know. Someone said to me one time, you get so much out of one church. Well, it's got so much. And believe me, there are smarter people than I am. You get a whole lot more. But he went on. He said, right, I had to go back to North Parkbury and get up in front of the church. He said, I told my pastor first, I got to go to the church. He was using the stamp. These things that go in meters, water meters, light meters. He said, let me tell you something. My family began to flourish. He said, it wasn't long that I was taking in over $1 million a month more than I'd ever put in before. And he said, over the years, he's grown and grown. And he begged me to come to church. Let me come to your church. I don't want you to pay me. I'll pay my own. He said, I assure you got men and women sitting in your congregation. They were exactly where I was at. And they were trying to make it. He said, God's plan is better than mine.
Amen.
And then notice our place. Where do we find pleasure at? Be honest. I've been in churches and people come. And I know some people that have a problem with medication. I had some of that problem with that. You go sleep. But what it is, they're so filled up and so wine so tight, and they when they get to church, they can say, thank you, God made it. And when they leave, they don't know what they're doing. But I find pleasure in serving Jesus Christ. And notice, there's a dedication. You know what we're having problems with today? It's commitment. I saw some nice young ladies and fine young men. They just don't believe it. You know why nobody don't want to make a commitment? First of all, the government makes it a problem not to be married. It does be married. I stood in that courtroom. You see, the fact is when this little woman back there, when 52 years ago, when I made that commitment, because I loved her and I wanted to do the best for her. We come in, nobody's in here that way, but she looked nice today. I said, would you marry me again? I'd do it in an instant. I said, I would you. Dedication. You gotta make that, get involved in saying, I'm gonna take my cross. Not the preacher's cross, not somebody else. You see, if you come to term, determine a part of Wilkesboro Baptist Church, if you're determined to do what God wants you to do, you ain't got time to do to prove by somebody else what they did. You know, you ever notice those are the ones that do the list and tell everybody what they're doing wrong? Not to you. But that's not you. I always told the deacon, I don't want you to do my job. I don't want you to feel my responsibility. Church elected you just like it elected me. You do the business. I'll do the preaching. I'll do the ministry. I will do it. You see, the fact is, we have to make a determination. We are dedicated to the cause of Christ. Now, all of us together is greater than one of us. And when a church comes together and they swore, they don't mean they have to disagree or agree with everything, but when they come united, great things will happen.
Amen.
Now some churches thinking they'll get a pastor and he's going to change the world. He's only going to be as great as you are committed to the Lord. Then I want you to know that steadfastness. We can't do it a while with. How many churches that'll say, oh, we've done it like that before. You ever heard that? I ain't gonna work. You know what? And I was trained in church planning. You can take some of the same things and they'll be tremendous. Because you know what? It wasn't the wrong with the plan. They had it on the wrong night. They didn't proper habitat. There are things that people can learn from those things. You see the fact that, and I analyze myself every time I preach God's word. I get home and I really think about what I said and the movement I have with people. You see, I want to be unmovable. I want to be steadfast in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it's not of me. It's not the ones that listen to me. It's all about Him. See, I don't have to answer you or no other congregation I would then. I have to stand before you one day. And I didn't say I don't have to cooperate with you. Do. But I have to stand with people. And then notice, finally, determination. Follow me. First, we've got to follow. I don't know how to do it, preacher. I preached a revival one time, and the first revival I've ever been in, this preacher was preaching. And he got up and he said, you know what God called me to preach? I want to get me a big old trooper biker over here, get my overhaul. I had to learn how to spit, just like he did. I'll sit there and I'll look. I did say, I said, Charles Stanley was Muhammad Ali's professor. Charles Stanley is a great man. He's a great artist to preach the gospel. I don't believe Charles Stanley. said, Lord, they're striking me. Look what they done to me. Early in the ministry, I used to tell somebody on Sunday night about it. I said, you know, Star Trek was just starting. I said, man, I'd love to have that power of spark. They give you a hard time to beam them up. Then I realized, you know, they might have that power, then they're not going to beam it. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That's endurance, folks. Jesus didn't stop along the way. And if you and I are going to enjoy the benefits and the total blessings of God, we can't stop along the way. We got to go all the way. When we stand before Him, we can hear Him say, welcome home, my servant.
Amen.
Or hear the words, the saddest words, sorry. I never knew. Depart from me. You're meeting challenges. And I know this morning you face challenges. And people said, oh, I don't know. You don't know. Yeah, I do. Christ, God came, took the form of a man, and He walked the earth. You know why? He wouldn't understand us. We sweated, He sweated. We grew hungry, He grew hungry. He got thirsty, He got thirsty. There's not a phase and a challenge of your life and my life that He didn't all know about. The challenges will be all the way to the end. I've sat with teenagers and counsel with them and help them to overcome some of the challenges they have as young couples. And then couples. And then those seniors that are in the home and many times at a rest home. Those are the people that made who we are. There was a place in Spartanburg. I went in one day. This lady there, she had been spoiled with everything, sitting in the nursing home. She'd run all the floor. I went to the desk and said, who's the nurse that's in charge here? And he know who this was. And I said to that nurse, I'm going to stay in here. So you take her and clean her up. I don't know this lady. I'm sure she had dignity. And I'm sure she made sacrifices that where we realize not affected us. And let me tell you something, honey. You ain't many steps and you can be sitting in that chair. You know, we teach one generation over there. I had to wait about an hour. I said, she brought her back and you could smell her perfume. But you could smell her when she comes through the door. When I come to the door, that's what caught my attention. I followed the smell. And I said to her, I'm trying to be smart. But you know, God created her. And she has to be loved. Now I'm going to make you a deal. You make sure that don't happen again. Because if it does, I'm going to call VA myself. And I'm going to stand here thinking somebody is investigating. You see, the fact is, everybody is worth something. Everybody deserves love. But Jesus is saying, you will be my disciple. Because I believe this morning, I prayed. I didn't want to preach this message. I wanted to preach the Lord's Prayer. But until early this morning when I got up, I couldn't. I had to quit. This message wouldn't leave me, folks. And I know why. Because you see, God was showing me someone in this congregation this morning. You're struggling. Whether it's physically or spiritual or financial. And I can say you this morning, the only one can help you is through Jesus Christ. You see, there's no welfare in the Scripture. You see, the fact is God will provide us. can know how many hairs that we got on our head. Now, some people, that's not too hard. Or how many sparrows fall. He knows all our needs. You see, he pulls our needs through care. Nobody cares like Jesus did for us. Some need to come to know Christ this morning. It's not embarrassing. I had to do something. And a person here, this person, didn't have to step out and come. Said, I'm a sinner. I will accept Jesus as my sinner. We see the example of the young boy in the baptism. That baptism pool is Steve Compton, and I told you, it's a picture. That was his testimony. You see, that shows we're committed. That shows we're going. That doesn't mean we arrived everything we need. And one day God will be with us. You may need me. You're not with the church. I don't know who's never with us. But I can tell you, you're never accomplished. Unless you're committed. And becoming a member of the fellowship of the church is a joy. And I know that you have ups and downs and all this stuff, but I can tell you this morning, I don't see how anyone in all right here would want to be a part of this church. Love you. I've seen it by Sunday night, though. I've seen these men out there out of I seen young women working together, get all that stuff together. Next thing you know, man, they had a feast of your arm. How sad of them realizing when they done had this thing set up, showed the movie. I don't know why anyone wanted to part. You love Jesus. If you want to be on board with Jesus, I don't know any place to be better to start it than right here. And our invitation is going to be this morning. Let's stand. God is speaking to your heart. It's not me. It's you. Now, you know, I'm going to go home, and the people around me are going to go home. What you're going to challenge tomorrow by yourself. It's nothing to be embarrassed by. The embarrassing is when they stand before your coffin and say, oh, I'm so sad. They're going to be misgraded. Terry, anybody.